ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, this morning, we will look at a very critical subject, faith and victory. Faith and victory. I just mentioned to PG that P. Akins have preached my message, scripture this morning. I just sense a word in my heart this morning that God will want me to bring to you and everyone who has been part of this service, the fact that we should be sensitive to the times that we live in. Things have changed. And things have changed because God has remained the same. You may not understand that. I mean, whatever is happening now is also has been in the scriptures. And the message this morning is that we have the victory. Because God is not going to come down to intervene. He's going to use his representative who are already here. We are the ambassadors of Christ. God is going to use you and I to make the change. God is going to anoint us to make the difference. And wherever he has planted us, that is where our pulpit is. That is where we need to begin to be sensitive to his spirit and make the change. Darkness will cover. Gross darkness we cover, but he says the Lord will arise over you and his glory shall be seen on you. So this morning, it's a mix of a call to responsibility and then encouraging your heart that this is also the best time to live. Darkness may have covered, gross darkness, the people, but he said the Lord will arise over you and his glory shall be seen upon you. And I want to also say, hearts of men, the heart of men is failing them. The heart of men is failing them. And we go into the scripture shortly. The rate of drug addiction has increased because people are looking for solution. It may not be an excuse, but people are desperate, looking for solution. So, people are beginning to take on habits that they don't even like themselves. There is increase in the use of cannabis, increase in the use of all these drugs that people put in their drinks because people want to stay zen in the times that you and I live. Well, let's read what the Word of God says to us. 1 John chapter 5 this morning. 1 John chapter 5. I read the first five verses to just lay the foundation. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, that is the anointed one, is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him, who is begotten of him. He said, by this we know. So we love Jesus. We love the Father who has given him to us as a gift. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God. We also love fellow believers. When we love God and we keep his commandments. He said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his word. And his word are not burdensome. He said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The world talks about the systems. It talks about the structures. It talks about the way of doing things. It talks about the common mindset. It talks about the culture. But the Bible is saying this morning that when we come into this loving relationship, when we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior, the one who has set us free, when we believe that we love him with all our hearts, and we believe that he sent to us as a gift from God, and then we walk in the reality of this love, and we are daily being perfected in it, and then we love the brethren who also profess this love and this relationship, it says, we are born of God and we have overcome the world. John chapter 16, I read a couple of verses of the scriptures to just also establish that thought. John chapter 16, I read from verse 31 to 33. John 16. He said, Jesus answered them, do you not believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come, that you will be scattered. In other words, the world will be troubled. Trouble will break from left, right, and center. Things will happen beyond our imagination. He said, they will be scattered, each to his own. And will leave me alone. We will not leave Jesus in Jesus' name. And yet, I am not alone because the Father is with me. Look at the consolation in verse 33. He said, these things have I spoken to you that in me, so whoever believes in the Son of God, in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome. Or like one translation rendered it, I have handled the world for you. Matthew chapter 24. This is the time we need to exercise our faith, live in the daily in the reality of the world, so that we can be strengthened. And with our strength, we can strengthen all the people. Matthew 24, I read from verse 3 up to 14. He said, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come, these are the obvious signs, in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And then you will hear of wars and rumors of war. But he says, see that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So you can't afford to be upset. You can't afford to be fearful, even at this time. He said, for the nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine and pestilences. I'm sure that you know that we've been experiencing these things, and earthquakes in various places. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. He said, for you, they will deliver you up to tribulation and want to kill us, and probably kill us. We will be hated by all nations for his name's sake. People don't want to hear about Jesus anymore. And then many will be offended. In other words, the ones who will be offended are the believers. Many will be offended and want to betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel, so in the midst of all this happening, he said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Please do not be fearful. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you. 1 Timothy 4 verses 1 to 3. He said, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I read the whole of the chapter so that we can know what our attitude should be or our disposition should be even as things begin to unfold in our world. He said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. That's the second time Paul was writing this through Timothy to the church. He said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And look at the character of the perilous time. He said, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-controls, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but deny its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into the household and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jabez resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. That's the thing. For their folly will be manifest to all, and theirs also was. But you, the believer, you have carefully followed the doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happen in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, there was endurance through those persecutions. Out of them the Lord has delivered. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, we suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors, we grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things you have learned, in the things you are assured of, knowing whom you have learned them, that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures. And that's why I read all this. All Scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you, O man or woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. My first admonition to us this morning is that don't focus on the world system and these changing situations. Don't focus on it. The Bible even summarizes all that is in the world. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15 all through to 17. That's a summary of the world system. He said, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. Do not be controlled by their mindset. That's what he's saying. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There will be a conflict. For all that is in the world is summarized. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those three things are not in the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. Don't focus at this time. And that's the encouragement. Don't focus. Things are changing, or is still changing. I mean, some of our brethren in America reached out in the course of this week, and I was responding to them that it's the same in Nigeria. They said the cost of gas moved from $3 to about 5 point something dollars, depending on the state. I said, here, we bought diesel $3.20, is it? And within 4 weeks, as of this money, I think maybe it's about $6.50. So things are changing. The real estate is changing. The money market is changing. Things are literally changing. The cost of living is changing. But hey, what do we have to do at this time? Because it is inevitable. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 talks about what we need to do. Looking on to Jesus. That's the way to go. Looking on to Jesus. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author, the sustainer, and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him. So, we must look at the joy behind it. At this time, as the world experiences all these things, as we are seeing these obvious signs, we have a responsibility to look unto him, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Secondly, we have that responsibility to also reach out, because the devil is capitalizing on this time to destroy many people's lives. Look at the war in northern Nigeria, whether we accept it or not. I think finally our government have accepted and blacklisted those people as terrorists. You know, we were just playing with people's life. They said they are not terrorists. They are disgruntled. We've used their bandits. We've used many words because we don't want to rock the boat. But many people have lost their lives. In the South, the same thing. Their rivers are polluted, so we just come up with different things. Hypocrisy is the order of politics. In other places, I mean, we've traded, released virus, whether it's acceptable or not, but we release virus because that virus is not from God. God doesn't use evil to punish people. So we released it. We traded in it. Masks were supplied. Vaccines were given, and then we passed it on. So currently, wars. Whether hams are supplied at the front office or at the back office, some people are making money out of it. But many people are also dying. At this time, we look up to Jesus. I don't know if you have read it. I mean, where the war is, they are the foremost supplier of wheat. Where the world, the other country is the fifth supplier of wheat. And our home people here are beginning to speculate. They're asking the federal government to ban exportation of maize so that it won't affect us. We are still playing ostrich in the sand. Because it's going to affect fertilizer. So if all this thing goes on in another 6 months, you will know that famine will happen. Pestilence will happen. In our own country, lovers of money, people kill. And yesterday, I don't know if you saw the video, a dispatch rider stole a child and put that child in a box. Some weeks ago, BRT, they took a girl, hey, just for money. Money. So, in the midst of all these things, we must learn to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, because he needs you and I to be the light and the salt, even in the midst of this darkness. There is no efficacy with light if there is no darkness. Please understand. The key to being stable at this time is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our value in this life is not rooted in these things that can change. Our value is rooted in what God has said, in his gift to humanity. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is also our message at this time. Come to the Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 14, we read from verses 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We read verses 16 to 18. Said, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. He said, for our light affliction, which is for but what? A moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So, it's not like that song that says, we are suffering for what? Suffer, suffer for what? Enjoy the heaven? Mm-mm. We are the light. We will have it great and mighty because life must be saved here. Heaven begins here. So we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The ones that are seen are temporal, and our faith is not rooted in this temporal thing. Our faith, our value is rooted in those things that can never change. Love does not fail. Peace does not fail. Joy does not fail. As a matter of fact, the joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our what? Strength. I submit to you this morning by the grace of God that the Christian life is not hard. It's not difficult. And God doesn't intend that we should live this life on our own. He doesn't intend we should live this life depending on our own strength. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Thank you, sir. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Look at what he says. He says, for the adversary of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Say, from heaven he will thunder against them. So the Lord will judge the hands of the heart. He will give strength. And that's what I want you to hold on. He will give strength to you. He will exalt your horn because you are his anointed. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it said, "And he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Jesse. This is the word of the Lord to Florence. This is the word of the Lord to Michael. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Please understand that at this time, every one of us, we have a measure of faith that we must exercise. Every one of us. And this faith is simply confidence in the things that we cannot see. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, "For without faith, it is impossible to please him." For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder. Not a shamer. Is there an English word like that? God does not shame. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Every one of us, we have a measure of faith. We have. We don't pray for faith, but we need to grow in our faith walk. And that's the encouragement this morning. I'm encouraging and I'm challenging you to grow. And some weeks ago, we were taught, and I just want to bring that out. You know, every believer has a measure of faith. We do that. We exercise it in salvation. Your salvation experience, my salvation experience, Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. It says something. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. But we have it. But we need to begin to exercise it." Paul, writing to the Thessalonian believers in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, he commended them because they used their own faith. He said, "We are bound to thank God for you, brethren, as it is," what? "Fitting, because your faith grows." Your faith grows exceedingly. And then love. So when we talk about faith walk, when we talk about love walk, they're like cousins. So your faith, as your faith is growing exceedingly, even at this time, your love must also abound towards each other. We are to grow in our faith walk and love walk. Is the responsibility of you and I. Because faith and victory, they go simultaneously, hand in hand. Faith in what Jesus has done. And then we exalt that victory through our faith. So, we are encouraged to grow because there is a reward. So, Paul applauded the Thessalonian believer, and it's still the same word to us in Lagos, Nigeria, and wherever people are watching us from this morning. God expects us to grow, our faith to grow. Faith comes, and then faith can go. Romans 10:17 says, "It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So it can go when we begin to not hear the word, doubt, unbelief, worries, disappointment sets in. So faith grows. And in the Bibles, we have examples of how people practice their faith. I just want to bring just a little one out this morning. Some people operated in the realm of no faith. No faith at all. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 40, there is a story that Jesus told. It was like an experience. So some people, because they don't develop their faith, what they exhibit, you know where we read earlier on, says we can have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So this is a story that I think you can get back home and read. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And it's the story. Jesus, after explaining the parable of the sower, and you know that parable of the sower, you can even read the whole of chapter 4. If you read the parable of the sower, the Bible recorded that some seed fell by the wayside. The other one fell among the rock. The other one fell, by the wayside. So the birds of the air, they hit it up. The other one fell among thorns. And he said the deceitfulness of riches. So if you look at those things, you find out that when people receive the word of God, the 25% lose the vigor in that word instantly. Another 25%, we hold on to it time, but some things we just take that. Another 25%, it says the deceitfulness of riches, we take it away from them. But only 25%, we hold on to that word until it bears fruit in their lives. And then degree of bearing that fruit, some 60%, some 100%. So it's still the same place. No faith at all. So Jesus now said, let us go cross over to the other side. And look at what he says in verse 40. He says, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So it means exercising fear always at every instance means no faith. I've read what the Bible says about the times that we live in this morning. Some people, it's just that they are fearful about it. You need not to be fearful because God has not given you the spirit of fear. I will just mention these other things so that you can know where you are. But where God intends us to be is a level where we walk in faith, we are yielded to his spirit, and then we see the manifestation of his word in our lives. So no faith at all is one level. Another one is little faith. Little faith. Jesus and his disciples were traveling one day. And then, when they were traveling, Jesus left the boat. He went to pray. As he was coming, they saw something that looks like a goat. And then Peter said, well, other people were fearful, but Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come. It's still the same thing. We receive the word of God, we believe it, and then we hold on to it for a while. So, how did Jesus refer to it? He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It's Matthew 14:31, please. This is no faith. Matthew 14:31. And Jesus stretched his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith. So people can receive the word and then they begin to doubt, hold on to it. But after some time, doubt sets in. So there is a realm of little faith. The next one is the realm of great faith. Matthew 8. So the centurion has a servant who was sick. And then he heard about Jesus. He came to Jesus. And then the Bible talked about it here. That after he said to Jesus, I'm a man under authority. I said to this one, so I understand how this word works. And said, just speak the word only. My servant will be healed. And so in Matthew 8:10, Jesus' response to that work of faith is that, I have never seen such great faith. So there is the work of great faith. The work of great faith. The next one is increased faith. Increase faith. Luke 17:5. That was probably that place where they prayed, Lord, increase our faith. But the way they prayed this prayer, Jesus' response was that, hey, you have it potentially. All you just have to do is to allow it to grow so that it can increase. It's like the path of the just man. It's like a shining light. It shines more and more. What this is simply saying, unless you exercise your faith, you won't see greater measure. So there is a level of increased faith. There is also the level of weak faith. Weak faith. Romans chapter 4 verses 19 to 21. Said, not being weak. This is Abraham. So you receive the word of God. You take it in. And then you refuse to consider the natural evidences. So you have property to sell. In the midst of nobody is buying property, you have that thing. You believe that that property will go. And it works in this time. You know what the Bible talks about? This is our disposition. Let me quickly give you to that. That Job chapter 5. This must be, every business person in here, this must be your disposition. Job chapter 5. At this time, this must be your disposition. This must be my disposition. Job chapter 5, the Bible talks about something in verse 20. It says, in famine, he shall redeem you from death. And in war, from the power of the sword. So you shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. And you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. Say, so you shall laugh at destruction and famine. And you shall not be afraid of the beast of the heart. Say, so you will have covenant, a covenant with the stones of the feet. He's talking about business. And the beast of the marketplace shall be at peace with you. Say, so you shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing missing. So weak faith. And then the realm of strong faith. Romans 4:20, strong faith. It was strong. Abraham was strong. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened or strong, like other translation rendered it, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. This is the realm that God wants us to operate in. And that's why we must allow our faith to grow. It's the realm of Acts 6:5. Acts 6:5. And they chose Sadiq, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So at this time, that's our disposition in looking up to Jesus. You must become a man and a woman full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So God will begin to speak to his people. God will begin to instruct you where you are planted. So you must be full of faith, believe his word. And then respond to the leading and instruction of his spirit. There was something that was playing in my mind. And I was sharing with PG and PF this morning. And I stepped out in faith. You know, there's just that thing. When if you are conversant with how this faith thing works, it begins with a nudge in your heart. And a lot of people, they just stop at the level of that nudge when they consider the evidences. No capital, no contact, no. So they just stop at the end. But hey, if you are going to enjoy the benefit of what we are talking about, being full of faith this morning, is that you are ready to explore that instruction. You are ready to explore that nudging. Then the things that you need to do will begin to take shape. That's how this faith works. That's how it works. It begins with a nudging, with a prompting in your heart. then you dwell on it. Like chicken will brood over their head. You hatch it well by the further instruction, by prayer, by study and meditation in the Word of God, and then it begins to take shape. And then by step of faith, when it's time, you know, you step out in faith. And then all that is needed begins to cooperate with you. That's how it works. I mean, have you been to the beach before? And I mean, we used to do it. I haven't been to a beach in a long time. So you put your step into the water. But when the waves are coming, you run out. The truth is that if you want to see God, you must be ready to do business in great waters. Which means you are full of faith. If God has instructed your heart, you respond to him by the leading of his spirit. So you understand how these things work. Whether you are to wait, whether you are to begin to prepare, whether they go ahead, you understand how it works. Make that phone call. You don't procrastinate about it. Check on that proposal. Check for their response. You don't procrastinate about it. So the realm that God wants us to walk in is the realm of being full of faith. You are saying to yourself, no matter how it goes, God has sent this business to be an assignment in this generation. And so this business must succeed. The realm that God wants us to operate in is the realm that we are full of faith. Faith comes as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart through his word. Faith is backed by hearing. It's not backed by speculation. It's not backed by doubt. It's not backed by many. Mm-mm. Faith is substance. It's substantial. You can see it. You can see the form. You can see the shape. It's dependable. So it backed by hearing. So hearing is essential when we are talking about faith and victory. Hearing is essential. What many people put their faith on is like a typical Peter. They put it on other people, on the sayings of other people. Even though some people have encouraged you, you heard it from other people that business is where the money is, you still need to hear it for yourself. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. How does God speak to us? It's a spiritual transaction. It's a message for another day. But God uses words. Uses sometimes. I mean, even when he uses pictures, it's words that paints the picture for us. If I say a red G550 Mercedes-Benz, you just saw it in your mind. I just use word. But because you have seen it before, or you know what a G-Wagon is, you just saw it when I describe it. So faith comes by hearing. So spoken word, hearing word. So please don't approach the word of God casually at this time. Don't. Don't just read for the sake of reading. Read to understand. Read that the Holy Spirit will minister to you. Faith in God can only be based on what he has said. He has said, not on what you are wishing. What he has said. And he has said in Hebrews 13, he will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. There is nothing anyone can do. When we look at the miracles and the ministry of Jesus and the life of the apostles, a whole lot of believing comes from hearing. So at this time, when things seem to be out of place, please be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Word of God. As you study, as you meditate, God will speak, but you need to hear him. God consistently speaks. There are things he has spoken in his word concerning your healing, concerning your finances, concerning your victory. But you must hear him. So gather the word of God. Meditate upon them. Be intentional And then take confession around it. Take confession around it. I pray that this week will be a week of blessing. I pray that even though things are out of place around us and around the world, I pray that you will hear the voice of your Maker. It will instruct you in the way that you will go. And you will, the grace and the courage to respond to that voice, that grace and the courage is deposited in your heart, and you will respond to that voice in Jesus' name. This is the week of profitability. A week where you will represent Him well in the marketplace. This is a week where the voice of the Lord that is over the water will come expressively in your heart. And as you respond to Him, you will see miracles. You will see signs. You will see wonders in the name of the Lord Jesus. Things that have been difficult up to this time, His voice comes to you this way. The Bible says the voice of the Lord causes the Assyrians to be broken down. The Bible says the voice of the Lord causes fruitfulness. The voice of the Lord turns the wilderness into a fruitful forest. The voice of the Lord will come to you on that matter. And as you respond to His, you will see the hand of the Lord stretch forth for breakthroughs in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. So please, beyond church, listening and hearing is very important. Listening is not just something you do on Sunday. And then all through the week, you just leave it to chance. No. You can be intentional. That's why Jesus said, take heed how you hear. So, listening and hearing is beyond church. Psalm 62 says, Lord has spoken once, twice have I heard. That power belongs to God. If you want to see that power, you must be ready to listen and hear. And then respond to what you are listening. And God can't speak outside His word. So I believe that as you study, as you meditate, as you make confession this week, God will speak marvelously to you. Your testimony will be testimony of one who God has marvelously helped in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, saviors will come from Zion. So God is preparing us. I want you to take it. Take it to how you hear. God is preparing us for the times that we live in. There are people who must give encouragement in business. There are people who must begin to give encouragement on how people should live. And you are that one that God is preparing as a vessel. So respond to Him. Take on responsibility. Let our lives be beyond what we can eat, what we can drink. The Bible says, for our heavenly Father knows that we have these needs of these things, and He has provided for us. This week, you will be a savior. In your workplace, you will be a savior. You will be the eyes to the blind, the feet to the lame. That God's anointing will find expression through your effort this week. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,